You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We have a variety of topics that we try to cover here on Faith and Family. Topics that help you hopefully learn more about living and serving in the vocations that God has given you. Many of them pertaining to our families, your vocations in the family. And quite often we talk about topics pertaining to health. Today, we're going to take a look at a topic pertaining to our mental health, an upcoming workshop called The Church and Mental Health. That's a workshop coming up at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Dillsboro, Indiana, coming up in March. And we're going to talk more about that, what's going to happen to the workshop, and why it's so important. We've had some workshops similar to this in the past for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and a positive response as we continue to learn how important it is to care for one another in body and soul. And that includes this first article, Gift of Mental Health. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on KFUO. You can find out more about them on the KFUO website. Just go to KFUO.org, look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Jeff Flug, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Madison, Indiana. Pastor Flug, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you back today, and looking forward to learning more about how God has shaped your ministry and your vocations, as well as you shared in an article in the Lutheran Witness not too long ago about your many vocations and how God has called you to those vocations and what role mental health plays in those vocations. Tell us a little bit about the upcoming workshop, and then we'll get to our guest, one of the presenters of the workshop as well. Tell us how you got involved with this upcoming church and mental health workshop, Pastor Flug.
Well, my family history is such, and I've been in the circuit here. It's the Aurora Circuit in southern Indiana, and so the pastors are well aware of our situation personally in my family, and then also some of the things that we've done as a congregation. And with the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Luther's nailing of the 95 Theses, we made the suggestion that maybe we could focus on this mental health aspect, and not just, for me, what's important is the biological nature and so forth, but then also, did Luther have something to say about it? And so we're pretty excited because we've got John Pless coming from Fort Wayne Seminary. He's going to talk about Luther's letters of spiritual counsel, and those were a great help for me. And I found out from the other brothers that he actually teaches a course up there. And so we just thought, well, let's do this as a circuit, and because the type of mental health that we're talking about, or mental illness, is a small percentage of the population. You know, it depends on who you talk to, but I'd use a percentage, let's say 3 to 5%, maybe 3 to 7%. And so the broader net that we can cast, so to speak, the better. And there was a real desire by my fellow brothers in the circuit to do just that. And so that's how we sort of, the genesis of the thing began.
Our guest this morning, in addition to Pastor Flug, is Richard Davenport. He's a keynote speaker for the workshop, the Church and Mental Health Workshop, speaking on, giving an overview of mental illness. Richard, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you with us. Richard, tell us a little bit about your background. As I was reading through your biography, quite a bit of study in a variety of areas that all lead up to caring for the soul and for mental health. Tell me a little bit about your studies and your work.
Well, I graduated from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, back in 1979 with an MDiv, and served in parishes in Iowa and in Michigan for 7 years before resigning from the ministry and starting to work for the community mental health system in Oakland County, which is northern suburban Detroit. And I did that for 16 years while I was working with the community mental health system. I went back to school and earned a master's in clinical psychology. So I had a good deal of experience working with individuals with serious and persistent mental illnesses through my community mental health career. In 2004, I was offered a position working with the mental health services with the Michigan Department of Corrections. And so I started working in some of the state prisons with adult male inmates, and many of those having, again, the same kinds of mental health issues with serious and persistent mental illnesses. So I did that for the next 10 years and then retired from the state of Michigan Department of Corrections in 2014.
How did the two education and careers intersect? You studied theology, a master's of divinity, and served as a parish pastor, and then went on to work in mental health care. How did those two intersect, and what does this mean for us as we look at this church and mental health workshop? What does this mean? What does mental health mean for us in the church today?
One of the key things that came through my seminary training was the whole concept of caring for the individual as a whole, as a person, and recognizing the fallenness of all creation, including our humanity, our human nature. Working in the community mental health system really made that very tangible, because for much of that time, I was working very directly with people in their homes, helping them with all of the needs that are part of daily life, getting resources, finding jobs, getting the adequate treatment for their illnesses, helping them stay in treatment, helping them get their medications, and so on and so on and so on. So there was a real crossover in terms of caring for people and helping them in their distress and traumas that they experience with these illnesses. So that's kind of the connection, and that carried on over also as far as working within the prison system. Many men there that struggle with all kinds of mental health issues, and helping them resolve that helps them as individuals.
Pastor Fluke, why is this workshop important, the church and mental health? Why is it important for us as a church to look at mental health and what it means?
Well, there's a lot of families out there that are hurting, and now they've done studies on the number of folks that have mental illness, and they're very much marginalized even within the church. Also, all of our churches have folks that have been diagnosed with a severe mental illness, and so often pastors don't know what to do, members don't know what to do, and I found that to be the case. I had wonderful support when it first struck our family with our pastors, but getting good help was a while in coming. And then also overcoming my own bias about mental illness, that was an issue. And so just some of the lived experiences we've gone through, there's been, as I've told people, great darkness at times. And then also some really great flashes of light and just blessing. And if we can steer people that there is really good help out there, and then pastors, if they know where to go, how to direct people, that kind of thing. There's a real need there.
You mentioned that you had to overcome your own biases, your own perhaps preconceived notions about mental health, mental illness. What are those preconceived notions or biases that many of us carry, perhaps until we're confronted with it in a very personal way?
Well, I think outwardly we see the behaviors of some folks, and it's bothersome. It's frustrating. I had that early in my life with my aunt, and we just sort of, it was a psychiatric thing. That was back in the days of a lot of psychoanalysis. And so I think that the fruit of a lot of that was that you're going to be blaming the individual, or you're going to blame the family, those kinds of things. And that if they just kind of get their act together, we can make some progress. Coupled with that bias was that I was trained, I first went to pharmacy school, and so I was trained in the medications and in particular the antipsychotics and so forth. I found those easier to remember and understand and so forth. But a little bit of knowledge sometimes can do a person quite a bit of harm. And so there, first of all, I was not so sure that mental illness is a biologically based illness. And secondly, the side effects of some of these medications can be, especially the early medications, can be quite serious. So then it struck our family and visited our, came to the doorstep rather rudely. And so there was a couple-year struggle that we did everything we could with counseling from pastors and from professors at the SIM, even there at St. Louis. Wonderful help that we received, but we didn't get the right help just yet because it was a medical illness. And so out of desperation, we went into a local mental health clinic in Centralia, Illinois, and I spoke. My wife and I spoke with a avowed atheist and a brilliant man, and he and I didn't see eye to eye. But God used him after a two-year struggle of delusions that my wife had. After 2 years, he put her on the drug that I feared the most, which was Haldol. And within 2 weeks, her delusions were gone.
Why did you fear that pharmaceutical the most?
Because of the long-term side effects that can happen. The early drugs cause central nervous system side effects, tremors and Parkinson-like symptoms. It can sometimes just there were depressive effects of some of the medications. My big fear, though, was the central nervous system effects, tardive dyskinesia, those kinds of things. And when you learn them academically, you know, at school or something like that, it makes an imprint on you. And so then you just want to stay away from it. One of the things that happened was shortly after my wife's break, and it was a result of a severe illness to our daughter, who was 19 months old, our family physician wanted to prescribe Stelazine, was the drug back then, and I was adamantly opposed to it. And if we had done that, I think my wife would have avoided 2 years of delusions. So that was a life-changing event where I really started to think differently about mental illness.
So when you were confronted with it in a very personal way, right in your own family, that really made you look at it more closely and changed perspectives on it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, back then there was also a lot more stigma about things. So there was still shame in the family, or shame in the individual, because people perceived mental illness back then, and still to some extent now it's a lot better now. But there's still a lot of baggage that we carry around, and we've got to be hush hush about certain things. And so I was beginning to learn more, if I can. There was the second big thing that happened, a life-changing event, was when I heard about an organization called the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or we call it NAMI. And I took a family-to-family education course, and I learned all kinds of things. And that's why I'm wanting to do these kinds of things. And we've even started those classes within my own congregation. Richard, he was given a presentation over in Cincinnati, and he was coming at it the same way, but not from a different lived experience. And so we were kind of like, wow, we're on the same page of the playbook here. So it's been a this conference is really a big deal. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time and have Richard come, and he's really going to help a lot of people.
Richard, could you speak about those misconceptions and preconceived notions that we have about mental illness?
Well, I would think perhaps the first is that it is something that is rare and, as Pastor Flug talked about, generally the fault of some person or persons. The reality is that probably one in four, some point in their lifetime, will experience some sort of a mental health problem, whether it's a severe mental illness such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, or a depressive episode or something like that. So it's much more prevalent than many people would like to think. And second, the whole issue of stigma, as Pastor alluded to, is still very much out there. If somebody is having a mental health problem, we don't talk about it. Families try to conceal it. There's often the same kind of attitude that he alluded to. If you just get your act together, if you just believe better, if you pray harder, then all of this stuff will take care of itself. And the reality is, as he's said several times, this is a medical condition as well as a psychological issue that people have to deal with, and they need to be able to understand some of the realities of why this happens, where it comes from, how we deal with it, and what the obstacles are. For example, the stigma. For example, the fact that there will never be adequate resources in our society to address all of the needs that are out there. So that's why this is so important to me. I became more and more aware of all of those factors as I continued to work in the field. And after my retirement, having the opportunity to share that with others, to help them begin to understand what this is all about and how it can impact them and how they themselves can help, that became a new mission for me.
Why is it that we seem to have a propensity to search for, try to find blame, or reluctant to talk about mental illness? Yet in that very same culture, we can speak openly about diabetes or arthritis or something else that may be chronic or persistent that affects our daily lives and how we function. Yet we're reluctant to talk about mental illness.
One of the points that I make is the whole issue of resistance to treatment, and part of the rationale behind that is our brains are how we perceive the world around us. They are the instruments that process all the information that comes into us and become central to us as a person, our personality. And if you are saying that there is something wrong with my brain, then are you at the same time saying that there's something wrong inherently with me? And that's a very difficult thing to deal with. There's something wrong with me, and I don't really want to acknowledge that or accept that or look at the possibility that the way I'm perceiving the world is inaccurate and that it's not me, it's you or something out there. So all of that plays into the resistance, the denial, the everything that goes with it.
So sometimes we think of mental illness as, we perceive it more as a character flaw, mm-hmm. than a health issue.
Right.
And then if it's a character flaw, there's nothing that can be done about it. Whereas if there's a health issue, if it's a health issue, there may be ways to manage and to cope.
Well, and again, if it's a character issue, then that's where the whole thing about getting your act together, mm-hmm. pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, changing the way you do things, it becomes the answer. And in reality, that is a portion. It is real that people get their thinking all mixed up and they look at things the wrong way, and they need to be able to sort that out. But that's only a part of it, and recognizing that is really the challenge.
Pastor Pflug, what is the focus of this upcoming church and mental health workshop? What will you be narrowing in on, zooming in on in this workshop?
Well, it's a threefold. First would be one of our great church fathers, Dr. Luther, has something to say about it. Mental illness wasn't invented or came about, you know, let's say in the last couple hundred years, certainly not in the medieval ages, but it's always been out there. And so the people of God have been confronted with it. Certainly Jesus was confronted with it. So we want to give a spiritual aspect of the word, let the word of God speak to the issue. Then, as you mentioned in the opening about the first article aspects, the creation aspects, that's really where Richard and I like to focus on things, and that is that God has created us with body and mind and soul. And things that affect the body are it's going to affect our soul, and you know, we're all connected that way. And I like to say, you know, the ankle bone is connected to the soul bone, so to speak. If you sprain your ankle, your whole person hurts. Well, how much more so when something affects your mind? So we'd like to focus on the biological aspects of the illness to try to maybe take as much as we can some of the mystery. That's an overstatement because our brains are just so sophisticated. But if you think about it, it's the most sophisticated organ in our body. And so when something goes wrong, well, it's very, very difficult to treat. But we've learned a lot, and we continue to learn a lot, and there is some treatments out there. And then the third prong would be that the community resources that are available, that, you know, how to help people find the help that they need, and what can we do as pastors and people and just a community at large.
So this is something that's could be very helpful to church workers, to family members, to anyone who wants to know more about mental health and what that means for us as Christians in our vocations.
Yeah, very much so. And that was the one question. And I'm thankful for the NAMI folks over in Lawrenceburg. When I originally put together the flyer, they thought, well, gee, maybe it's just focused for pastors and church workers, and that's the last thing I wanted. And so we really wanted to specify that this event is really open for all, certainly for family members, certainly for those that have a mental illness, certainly for pastors, but the church at large. And then also, I think it's a great witness to the community that people that are unchurched, if somebody cares, because I've got a family member, and so it's, in a sense, an evangelistic type of thing as well.
We're talking about the Church and Mental Health Workshop coming up on Saturday, March 25th at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Dillsboro, Indiana. Today, our guest, Pastor Jeff Pflug, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Madison, Indiana, and Richard Davenport. He'll be a keynote speaker for the workshop coming up on March 25th. We have more to talk about when it comes to the church and mental health. You're listening to Faith and Family. We'll be back in just a moment.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Two major social media platforms are putting up huge sums of money to keep abortion on demand legal throughout pregnancy. Sheryl Sandberg, chief operating officer of Facebook, donated $1 million to Planned Parenthood. We shouldn't be surprised last year Facebook was caught censoring pro-life news. As a corporation, the social media group Tumblr gave $800,000 to the abortion giant in a flashy media announcement, hashtag Tumblr stands with Planned Parenthood. This is why your prayerful and financial gifts to the pro-life movement are crucial to counter these big corporations. And we need you to respond when urgent developments unfold in Washington. Please sign up for our alerts at lifeissues.org in the Stay Updated section of the homepage.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and congregations across the country as we celebrate Refugee Sunday, a time to lift up the gifts that migrants and refugees bring to our country and to reflect on Christ's message to welcome the stranger. Together, we can continue the mission of welcoming, embracing, and empowering newcomers. Visit lirs.org/kit to download the Refugee Sunday kit for your congregations, including worship guides, bulletin inserts, videos, and more. lirs.org/kit.
Starting Friday, March the 3rd, Worldwide KFUO is premiering a new program. Let's Talk, The Pastor Is In. I'm Kip Allen, and I'm hosting the show. Many Lutheran lay people, such as me, would love the opportunity to just sit down in a relaxed atmosphere and talk with my pastor. If you have a question, email it to letstalk@kfuo.org and listen every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. starting March 3rd on Worldwide KFUO.
Our Give Now button at kfuo.org is available 24 hours a day. Also, you can send email to gifts@kfuo.org and ask for information about our various giving opportunities. To call and talk to someone today, contact Mary at 314-996-1518 or Mark Hawkinson at 314-996-1520. Support the mission of Worldwide KFUO and help us reach the world with the gospel.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
You listen to Worldwide KFUO often. You try not to miss your favorite program because you benefit from the gospel message proclaimed. But have you shared KFUO with your friends and family? It's easy to do. Just like us on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio and share us. You can email your friends or family an audio link of one of your favorite programs and let them hear for themselves. Share KFUO and help spread the gospel to the world. That's the good news in the messenger of good news. Worldwide, KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We're talking about the church and mental health today, a workshop coming up on Saturday, March 25th at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Dillsboro, Indiana. And our guests, the Reverend Jeff Flug, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Madison, Indiana, and Richard Davenport, a keynote speaker for the event, for the workshop on the overview of mental illness. Before we went to break, we talked a little bit in general terms about some of the misconceptions we have about mental illness. Richard, how do we define mental illness? What is mental illness, And what are some of the mental illnesses that we'll be discussing or looking at more in-depthly at the workshop?
Okay, good questions. Usually when we think of a mental illness, like any kind of an illness, we think of a change or deterioration of functioning. I draw the parallel with illnesses such as developing the flu or becoming diabetic or something like that. Whereas at one point in time, the person was healthy and everything was going well, something changed. And likewise, with mental illnesses, we can say kind of the same thing, that at one point the person was functioning well, but then something changed. And now he's got problems with his thinking or with his moods or with both. And we think in broad categories of either mood disorders, moods fluctuating. We think in terms of depression, for example, or thought disorders, such as anxiety disorders or obsessive compulsive disorders, or the most severe being schizophrenia. They are fairly relatively common, and that's one of the things that's a bit of a surprise to people, that for schizophrenia, it strikes 1% of the population across all populations. So 1 out of 100 at some point in their life is likely to develop schizophrenia. And likewise with the most difficult and severe of the mood disorders, bipolar disorder, again, approximately 1% of the population across all population groups is going to wind up suffering with bipolar disorder. People are more prone to struggling with depression because it can come in a variety of flavors, degrees, severities, and at various times in life, so that approximately 20% of Americans at some point in their life is going to struggle with some form of depression. So it's when we think in terms of the serious mental illnesses, we're thinking of major depression, we're thinking of bipolar disorder, we're thinking of schizophrenia. They're identified as serious and persistent because they tend to be long-lasting. They can be recurrent, meaning a person can have periods of normalcy, and then there's going to be another relapse where things are kind of going to go back to being difficult in a struggle, and that can be kind of an ongoing pattern for people, much like an individual with asthma. They may not have asthma attacks all the time. They may be, in fact, doing quite well for extended periods, but at some point in time, there's a high probability they're going to have another asthma attack, and so likewise, and people are prone to having another mental health relapse struggle at some point.
Is there a way that we would describe these mental illnesses? Is there a category, I suppose, for these? Schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and depression, these that you just mentioned?
Again, we think in terms of thought disorders. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the schizophrenia. And it can have a wide variety of symptoms. People can have just very confused and disorganized thinking. Things that they say just simply don't make any sense. They can become very paranoid, knowing that there's some sort of a conspiracy against them, that people are tracking and following them, that people are the government is observing them from satellites, whatever, then the mood disorders like bipolar disorder, you're looking at mood swings, depression, we think in terms of, you know, feeling down, but really when we talk in clinical terms, we're thinking more in terms of really debilitating depression to where a person is not eating normally, not sleeping, it doesn't have the energy level, the interest in life, the things that they used to enjoy are no longer of any interest to them. So that can become to the point of becoming suicidal. Bipolar disorder means swinging between periods of severe depression and severe mania, which just the opposite is occurring. You're full of energy. You're enthusiastic about everything, especially about your own self and your abilities and your powers and your ideas, and you have all of these grandiose plans, but you're not able to follow through on any of them because you become very disorganized and disconnected from everything else that's going on around.
Pastor Pflug, what was your experience in your family with one of these?
Well, first was with my wife. We had two children, and our youngest was just 6 months old when our 19-month-old became very ill, and she had what I don't always like the word psychotic, but I'm going to say she had a psychotic break, and eventually that was diagnosed as schizoaffective disorder, which I'm not a clinician, but I would kind of put a blend between a, say, bipolar. If you have a scale on one side, you have schizophrenia, and then on the other side, bipolar. It's sort of in between, or, you know, kind of a shared thing. Richard could probably clarify that. But anyway, schizoaffective disorder. And hers was mild in the sense that it's been very responsive to medication. 18 years later, then, my oldest son, he developed paranoid schizophrenia, and it's been a much, much harder struggle. He's not been nearly as responsive on medication. Some of the symptoms are alleviated, but you get a lot of these flare-ups. And so a real challenge is really it's how we interact as a family, and that's part of where NAMI and groups like that are so helpful. One, and this would be a real Pandora's box and a topic for another discussion, but it'd be co-occurring disorders. And then, so our youngest son, a co-occurring disorder is a mental illness with substance abuse. And those are some of the most difficult to handle. And
Richard, Pastor mentioned that that these have mental illness can have an impact on relationships and how you interact as a family. Can you elaborate on that, how mental illness can impact relationships, whether it be in a family or we can even talk about that in the church more with Pastor as well, but how do mental illnesses impact relationships?
Well, as you can kind of guess, if a person's thinking is all confused and disorganized, it's very hard for the people around that individual to be able to know how to intervene, to help, to care for them. We've already talked about the whole issue of stigma and how families begin the blame game, you know, whose fault is this? With mood swings, severe depression, you have family members who spend years struggling to try to simply keep their loved one alive because of major depressive episodes in which the person becomes suicidal, or manic episodes in which you're totally out of control. And all of that just wears on individuals and on families as a whole. And when we were talking about, you know, the holistic approach to trying to care for people, a part of treating the mental illness is also helping the family understand and learn what this is all about and how it comes about and how they can be supportive in a helpful way, and also helping the individual recognize how their thinking and their behavior has impacted the relationships around them, and to try to give them some tools to change that and to begin to restore and repair relationships and their life as a whole.
Pastor Pflug, how does mental illness affect relationships in the parish, in the congregation, and the life of a congregation?
Well, it's varied. I can only speak definitively about my own parish, that they have just been super supportive. I know that other cases, that's not true always, especially sometimes when it affects the pastor, then that's very difficult, and how a congregation can navigate through that. For us, it's that the congregation, for my family, they have very much become a friend, say, to my sons, and it's actually, the Lord has just worked great blessing in the sense of they send cards if they're in the hospital, they to their where they live. They're always asking, you know, how my sons are doing, and then they've seen it's been a good education for them, because in the case of my wife, she's just the most loving person that walks the face of the earth. And then all of a sudden she withdraws. She's had several relapses over the years. And so it's just the person's so different. And so if it just makes us more, not sympathetic, but I guess empathetic as to what's happening, and then so many families are touched by this, or we know of someone, then can we become a friend to them? How can we help restore or have the individual reclaim their life? And a lot of that is through just providing some type of work for a person, maybe just 4 hours a week. Those kinds of things just go a long way in giving a person back their dignity.
If I can interject for just a moment, we often hear individuals, people say, you know, about somebody they know who has something like cancer. I don't know what to say to that person. Consider how much more intense that hesitance and reluctance and feeling of inadequacy for people who know that there's somebody around them in the congregation, for example, who has a mental health problem but haven't the slightest idea how to talk to them, how to acknowledge their existence and the struggles that they're dealing with, and how to be comforting and supportive for them. That's a challenge for congregations, knowing, okay, there is this person in our midst, and how do we acknowledge that person and try to be a caring and supportive Christian community for him.
And when we struggle with that, I would gather that can lead to isolation, particularly for the individual who's struggling with a mental illness.
Absolutely. One of the fascinating things that is a reality for Christians who struggle with these things is in that they become so engrossed with the struggles that they're dealing with that they're not able really to access and make use of the strength of the gospel. How many people have I known over the years who have said, you know, I felt so bad, I was so confused and so struggling, or I was so severely depressed that the last thing I ever wanted to do was to go to church. I would just feel worse being there because I felt so miserable, which is, of course, unfortunately, the wrong way around, because that's the one place where you need to be at that point in time. But again, that's a part of the problem, a part of the illness.
Pastor Pflug, what can the church do to serve and care for the individuals who struggle with a mental illness, as well as their families? What can the church do? What can pastors do?
Well, first, certainly pray for them, and even to the laity, don't be shy about approaching your pastor and asking for a prayer for someone who's struggling with the afflictions of their mind, if they don't want to say mental illness or something like that. But prayer is just so important, and all of us can do that. To come alongside a person and just listen to them, be there. And again, it is hard for them to come to church, and so that's when the church needs to go to them and make a phone call, stop by, send a card, just simple things. Become more and more educated, I think, is really important for family members. Certainly groups like NAMI are just excellent. There is a program that people that, if you don't have it in your family, it's a one-day seminar. Sometimes you can take it as a two-day. It's called Mental Health First Aid, and that's really a very good education program. And then also it does some interaction workshops where, you know, how do you talk with a person and then lead them to get the help that they need. So if you can be the person to get them to the help. But really, just to sum it up, to be a friend, to be a companion, to be non-judgmental, to listen, and then be there. And then when it comes to referring, you know, different resources, I'd love to put like Luther's or the Lutheran Book of Prayer. I think it's just a wonderful resource to hand someone. And the prayers are there, and the Word of God is there, and you can minister that way. Anybody can do it. Very simple things.
Other resources that you might point us to, Pastor, that would help us in caring for others who, either ourselves or others who are struggling with a mental illness?
Again, I would want to repeat the Lutheran Book of Prayer that Concordia Publishing House puts out. Also, if you just would Google the LCMS Mental Health Resources or our LCMS Life Ministry, we've got resources posted out there. Todd Peppercorn has a great book for depression. It's entitled I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. That book can be downloaded and as a PDF. You could even put it within a Kindle, that kind of thing. A little bit more in-depth things are available at the MichiganDistrict.org website. This is about 10 or 15 years ago, but they had a commission on mental illness, and there's a wealth of resources there. Again, I think going to the LCMS site has some really good things. Then on the secular side, you have NAMI, of course. And then don't forget about your local community health center.
Richard, any resources you'd like to add to that?
Well, yeah. And kind of building off of the reference to NAMI, you know, there are a lot of churches that host organizations such as AANA, you know, and they have AA meetings in their parish halls on an ongoing basis. Having a NAMI, National Organization on Mental Illness, having a chapter in the community that is coming and sharing your facilities for their work can be a tremendous gift to the community as well as to the congregation. And there are other organizations out there. One of my favorites is the bipolar, the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, DBSA, a national organization with chapters all over the country. And again, having a DBSA chapter that meets in your church, shares your parish hall or whatever, not only brings the issue of mental health to the congregation, but it also then brings the congregation into the community.
Let's talk about the, Pastor Flug, let's talk about the upcoming workshop on Saturday, March 25th. How can we find out more information about the Church and Mental Health Workshop?
We do have it posted on Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, Dillsboro, on their Facebook page. So if you just went to Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, Dillsboro, the form is there. It can be printed and then to mail that in. Also, folks can certainly email me at pastorflug at gmail.com. And then we do have a phone number for more information. That would be 812-292-1047.
All right, so Pastor Flug, I guess we should spell that out too. Pastor, P-F-L-U-G at gmail.com. You can find more information talking or emailing Pastor Flug or 812-292-1047 for more information on the Church and Mental Health Workshop coming up on Saturday, March 25th at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Dillsboro. Now, this event is an all-day event on Saturday, starting at 9 a.m. and then wrapping up around the last thing at 3:15, it looks like.
Right.
Throughout the day, a number of speakers, including Richard Davenport, we're speaking with today. Other speakers that'll be at the event that day?
Well, we have Pastor or Professor John Pless from Fort Wayne Seminary, and again, he'll be speaking to Luther's Letters of Spiritual Counsel. Then Richard has a couple sessions. After that, we're going to have folks from NAMI that will be there. To talk about community resources. I'll be covering my area, which is more the southern part of the circuit, and then there's a NAMI chapter over toward Lawrenceburg and Dillsboro. It's in the Cincinnati, the east or west side of Cincinnati. Also, we're going to have a speaker come from Lutheran Child and Family Services, and he takes youth, or that organization especially takes youth that have a lot of issues and so forth, and they can they work with them, and I just think the exposure of what the kind of work that they're doing up in Indianapolis is good. And then we've also got a speaker coming from Fort Wayne who's with the Lutheran Foundation. They're planning something similar, my understanding is, to what we're doing. It'll be later in the fall. Again, that'll be in Fort Wayne, which is a much bigger area, much more population up there. And so he'll come and kind of fill us in on what they're planning as well.
Will there be an opportunity for questions at the workshop?
Yeah, we've set aside the last 45 minutes for a panel discussion, and whoever is speaking, will be part of that.
Is there a cost for the workshop on the 25th?
Or charging a high price, $10.
So registration is $10, and that includes lunch as well. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Very good. Well, again, Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, Dillsboro. You can find them on Facebook. Find more information about the upcoming Church and Mental Health Workshop. Our guest today, the Reverend Jeff Flug, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Madison, Indiana. Pastor Flug, thank you for being my guest today.
Thanks again, Andy.
And Richard Davenport, keynote speaker for the Church and Mental Health Workshop coming up in just a few weeks. Richard, thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Andy, for calling.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Stick around for Pastor Whedon as you dig into God's Word in 1 Corinthians today. You're listening to the Messenger of Good News.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.